said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome, welcome to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. My name is Karen Watts, also known as Karen at PetOfTheDay.com, and we have with us Joe Barber, Country Joe himself.
Yeah, and I guess we're going to talk about show chickens today, huh?
We are. Our first guest we have with us is Jason Kopas, and he shows Old English chickens. Welcome to Country Joe's Chicken Show, Jason.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Hello.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Old English chickens for people who don't know what they are. What do they look like, and you know how old they are, and whatever. Let's talk about them.
Well, there's really two different types of Old English. You have your modern and then your just regular Old English Bantams. The Old English Bantams, the first ones were originated, I think it was around 1835 in the UK area. They banned cockfighting there. And so the guys developed these off of those. They look just like your grown game chickens now. And so these are just miniature versions of them. Obviously, they didn't fight them, and we don't fight them, obviously. But that's what they came from. They bred them down to smaller size. And then around 1855, I believe, they came out with modern Old English, which is our Old English we have now crossed with Malayas. And so the modern are really tall legs. A lot of people say they look like a dinosaur. They're very long-legged, very tight-feathered. They're a really docile chicken, beautiful-looking bird, longer neck. But your original Old English, or they look just like the game chickens, but a small miniature version. That's exactly what they are.
And there's, are they good egg layers? Are they egg layers also?
They lay eggs, and they lay, for the size of the bird, they lay really well. And they hatch really well. Your modern Old English lay just a little bit better because they've got a little different breed. They were made with the Malayas crossed into them, so, and they're a little bigger bird. But, yeah, they're hardy little birds. You would look at them and think they're not that tough, but they can handle cold weather like nothing. So.
And how big are they? Or how small are they?
Well, they're not supposed to be bigger than 22 ounces. They're pretty muscular, so they're not very tall. So they're anywhere from 18 to 22 ounces is what our standard calls for on the show, your show birds. They weren't recognized in the United States till 1925. They were accepted by the poultry clubs here. And they've been being shown, I mean, you know, obviously in over 80 years. And they're pretty big. It's not uncommon to have 1,500 Old English at a show.
Wow.
So, yes. And,
that must be really competitive.
It gets very competitive. You would think we were crazy if we told you everything we do to get them cleaned up. And, for instance, I bathed mine, tried to bathe them about 3 days before a show. So all the wool's back in their feathers. You scrub their feet, their toenails, you make their face be clean. I mean, You want them to be flawless, and you want every feather to be in great condition, because that's how stiff the competition is. Is one little piece of dirt could lose you the show.
So. Isn't that? I imagine with 1,500 of these, boy, after a while, I think I'd go blind here trying to figure out who's better than who. You know?
Yeah, and then there's 37 recognized colors. We just accepted three new colors into the standard. There was 34, but they've just accepted the opals, the fawn reds, and the silver gingers into the standard. So now we have 37 colors. So our judges have their work cut out for them.
Wow. Now, is there a standard color that started out?
Well, it depends on who you ask what the color is. I've heard from anywhere from white, black, BB red. It just depends on who you ask. Obviously, being over there in the UK, they probably know the truth. All I know is they've developed a lot of colors off of the four or five main colors, and there's a lot of beautiful birds. And most people, when they see them, you know, they don't even realize they existed until they go to a show and look at them. But, you know, we show against, you know, large fowl birds, too. You got to win your Old English class, and then you may show against modern Old English, Cornish and games, and large fowl and waterfowl. So it's not only showing against 1,500 to, you know, anywhere from a small show to big show Old English, you're showing against every other bird, too.
Wow. Well, I was going to ask about that because, you know, You already said you bathe them and you know, make sure they're spotless. And I've never, you know, been showing chickens. There's a chicken show that apparently takes place now every year up the street from my parents' house, but it wasn't there when I was a kid. So how did you get into showing chickens?
Well, I grew up on a farm as a young boy, you know, having your typical, you know, chickens, you know, and some of them were probably mongrels, Heinz 57s, but, you know, as a kid, you don't really care. But, as I got older, I always just thought chicken shows were fairs and county fairs, and that's it, and you're done. You know, you're just not really that big of a deal. And then, obviously, as I get older, I'm 33, and I got married and had some children and found out I had a little bit of free time and decided to go to a real chicken show, and I was hooked. So about 5 years ago, and I found out that it's way bigger than that. We have clubs and private shows, and it's all over the United States. People travel all over the United States to show birds. I've drove all the way to Alabama, all over the United States to show birds. So
wow.
We get a huge following. I mean, I have a show that I put on now, the Red River Shootout, and we had four different states represented as far away as Florida. So,
is it a money deal? Is there any money involved in this for winning or that sort of thing?
If there is, I'm not good at making it. That's what I'll tell you. It's, to be honest with you, it's a hobby and a passion for most of us that do it because we're trying to make the breed better and represent them in a humane way, not like a mill or something, just throwing out birds to sell. And we really want to make them good. So we don't really try to know. There's a few people that are all in any hobby that are trying to make money off of it, but most of the time you're not making money. I mean, there is prize money, but it's just more, I think, of the passion and the hobby. And there's people involved with this that I've seen. You know, we have five-year-old people that show in the juniors. And there's guys that are in their 70s showing. So,
isn't,
I mean, it, men, women, it doesn't matter. My son shows. He's five. He loves it. You know, I enjoy it. But there's really not, I would not say if you want to make a profit, you know, you're probably not going to want to get into the show side of it. There's a huge difference, though, between a show quality Old English and then one you're going to go to a flea market and find or order out of a magazine. There's a huge difference. So,
is there? Like how? How would be the difference?
You want your feathers to be uniformed and wide, and you want the bird to be balanced and wing carriage, which if I had a picture I could show you, you would understand everything I'm talking about. But if you buy one from let's say you order one from a hatcher, and I'm not saying nothing bad about their birds. It's a different quality. They breed for egg-laying production, and their birds are bigger than what the standard calls for. So they would be disqualified in a show as far as size alone, but they're not going to have balance in the tails, and they're going to be like real big front ends, real small tails, and it's not balanced looking. And the color,
and you know,
pick them apart.
Jason, I'm going to interrupt you right now. I'm going to do what Joe really hates when I do, but, you know, we have to have a limit to our segments and have room for sponsors. So we are just about out of time for this segment. Will you stick with us?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh,
excellent. So we can get more of that description when we come back.
Yeah.
Folks, we'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We have with us today Jason Kopass, who raises old English chickens. And Jason, you said you have a club that you and your show chicken people belong to that you wanted to mention.
Yes, ma'am. We actually have a club website. It's to promote the breed in a professional way. It's oegclub.com. And we're a nonprofit club, so anything we can get obviously goes towards helping our youth program, getting more people involved in the birds. And we are going to give away one free membership. To the first person, I guess, that emails you guys or calls in, and you guys can forward me the info, and I'll get their club membership activated. It's $20 a year, but it's a great website, and it's a great way to promote, to get youth involved with just outdoors, period, with animals. I feel like, you know, that always kept me out of trouble, probably, so going out and doing chores. And the old English birds, they just have a personality of their own, and most people fall in love with them when they get them, so... We have a great youth program, and it's a really, really good thing. And the youth have their own show inside our show. It's called the Junior Show. And it's a really good time for them to learn and look for. And they have to take care of their own birds, so it teaches them responsibility. So,
What I'll say is, and the first person who emails me, I'll make that easy, to Karen, K-A-R-E-N, at petoftheday.com. Which is my website, and if you have a pet chicken that you like that's not just a show chicken but that's a pet, you can nominate it for Pet of the Day. But if someone wants to email me at karen@petoftheday.com, we will give away one membership to the Old English Chickens Club that Jason just mentioned.
Well, now, that sounds great. Yeah. Yeah.
And your youth program, so you said your son, who's 5, gets into showing chickens.
Yes, we want them to be at least 5 years of age to show, because we want them to put the bird in the cage and to feed and water them and stuff. We don't want a parent to do it for them. We want them to start. And these birds are that gentle for a kid can handle them like that. So
that's amazing.
That's why most people, they're great birds. They got great personalities. I always tell everybody, if I was a chicken, I'd be an old English. So, but it's just... They're neat little birds. They're so pretty, and they got a personality. And most people, once they get them, really do fall in love with them. I never had them until I was a little bit older, and then I kind of liked them. And then when I just really just got into this and enjoyed it. And there's a lot of great guys at show and ladies that are great people. I mean, they're beautiful people, and they're just – it's a good time. And I enjoy showing against the best of the best, too, for the competitive side. And it gets pretty competitive, so it's
Now,
it's
you
fun.
Said there are 37 colors of Old English. Yes. Now, what colors do you show?
I show blacks, blues, BB reds, and I have brown reds. So, And those are kind of some main colors. You have white. You have your whites and your other normal colors, but those are the four I show. I would love to show all of them, but I'm afraid my wife would probably divorce them, because I would have to have more room and build more pens. So,
yep. Now, getting back to your club, how many members do you have in your club? Do you have is it a large?
I believe right now our 2013 numbers were around 600, I believe.
Uh-huh.
So, the club was actually started in 1950, in the early 50s, and we had our first national meet in 1958 in North Carolina. And that's kind of our Super Bowl, the jamboree of our shows. So we really, if you win that, you've done something. Kind of a bragging rights trophy. So it's, it's a big deal. My friends think I'm crazy when I talk about my chickens, but it's just, I think they're crazy on some of their hobbies. So
yeah, it's true.
I enjoy it. It's a good passion. So.
And they may be football fans, but it's a lot easier to keep some chickens in your yard than some football players, right?
Right, yeah. I'm a football fan, too, so I'm interested in sports, too. But I just, it's kind of like you get people that they like a certain hobby that we really don't know about. It's hard to get into. But I don't know how you can't like chickens. They're good to eat, and they're cool to have. So.
That's right. Now, when you join the club, do you get a monthly newsletter and contacts and all that sort of thing? Yeah.
Yeah, we actually have a website with pictures of all the colors of birds. You can get on there and talk to other members. It's a great website. It's active. You can see birds that people are developing a new color. You can find out show information. We have when shows are at, where they're at, when, who to contact. There's just endless amounts of information on there. If you have birds, you don't have to show to be on there. There's information about how to get birds healthier, keep from being sick, all kinds of stuff. So. And it's a great website to go to.
Yeah, why don't you give that website address again?
Yeah.
OEGclub.com.
OEGclub.com?
Yes, ma'am.
So, okay.
And there's some very knowledgeable people on that website. If you have any question about any type of sickness in a chicken, they can answer it almost immediately.
That's amazing. So,
yeah. So, and there's great people on that website, some of the best people you've ever met. And we got members all over Florida, all the way to Massachusetts and California. And, I mean, you just name it. They're everywhere. So.
Oh, my God. Now, how many of these chickens do you have?
In my peak, from hatching season, I'll have anywhere from about 12 to 1,400. So, during the season, I cut down on my birds down to 100. So, yes. That's why most people think I'm crazy.
I know
that's what I tell everybody.
I know that Joe is if he sees a picture of these chickens, his wife is going to be in trouble because he is going to want them too. But chickens can be addictive.
Really
I've heard that.
Yeah,
If you get one, you'll have two within the next week. you'll like them. We can ship you some, Joe. They're real easy to ship. So.
Yeah, I know. I get chickens in here a lot.
That's the great thing about the shows. You can go look at other people's breeds of chickens, and it's great. The large fowl and everything.
Yeah. and we are running out of time with this segment, and so... But I want to give out a little bit of information about not only we mentioned your website, our website here at All Paws Pet Talk is allpawspettalk.com. And you can listen to All Paws Pet Talk shows anytime at wpettalk.com. But Country Joe's Chicken Show is also now on iTunes. If you search for Country Joe's Chicken Show on iTunes, and we'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Now, I am Karen Watts again, Karen at PetOfTheDay.com, and we have Country Joe, Joe Barber.
Right here.
And our next guest is Ron Keene, and he is the answer guy for Backyard Poultry. And I know that Joe is going to have a ton of questions for you, Ron. But first, before that, I want to say welcome back to All Paws Pet Talk Country Joe's Chicken Show.
Yes. Glad to have you, Ron. And I got some questions from different people around. I told them you were coming on the show, and they went, oh, great, great. So are you ready to answer a few questions?
I'll give it a shot.
Okay. Here's one a question that I have. I raise a fair amount of meat birds, and I don't get them vaccinated, and I don't know if I should, and I've never had a problem. And I'm talking meat birds and meat turkeys. I've done in the thousands now, and I've only had very few incidents or problems. And I don't know. I just wanted to see what you thought about vaccinating or how you feel about that.
Sure. Well, I think in general, I would say if it's working for you, don't change it. I think for many people, you can get by without vaccinations. And I think really the vaccine choices you have are pretty limited with small flock numbers anyway. A lot of the vaccines are made for, you know, thousands of birds and may come in 10,000 dose bottles and things like that.
Right.
They can be hard to get a hold of even without buying large quantities. And some of them really, it's hard to even apply them. They're either meant to be given in, you know, a large water system or sprayed on sometimes. So generally, I think that's not a bad situation. The one that I think a lot of people do run into is Merrick's disease.
Yeah.
And so that one, you know, quite often I would suggest if you're buying from a hatchery, it's really not a huge extra cost to add that. And I think for many people, that one may be worth giving. But, you know, again, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So if you're getting by without it, then maybe that's all right.
That's good. Okay.
And are vaccinations more important in different parts of the country? You know, different diseases more prevalent? Because Joe's in Florida. I know you're in Wisconsin. I'm in the Boston, Massachusetts area.
Sure. I think there can be some small variations, but probably it's more local than that, I would say. You know, it depends on what you've had on your farm in the past. There are some diseases that may be there. You know, possibly some other situations if you're close to some other flocks, things like that. So I don't think there's general comments. There are a few diseases that may be more common in warm weather areas, things like that. But generally, I think it's more local. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Now, I got it. Here's another one. Just started happening to me. These are my laying chickens here. They're starting to peck. Now, it's the same amount of birds in an 80-foot pen, so it's not crowding. You know, they get all the oyster shell they want, and all of a sudden, they're starting to peck each other. There's, you know, feathers. And they hadn't done this in like a year and a half. Then all of a sudden, this is a brand new, I don't know, sport for them or something. I can't figure out what's causing this all of a sudden.
One thing that I have seen quite a bit with pecking is a change in the energy of the diet. And that might be something to look at, especially a lot of people will try to, you know, with cold weather, add more scratch grains or corn. And I think,
you can look at it two ways. I always look at it as an excess of energy, although some would argue it's a decrease in protein. But that would be one thing I'd look at, is to try to back off of that if you have been feeding more scratch grains. I think, you know, quite often that will help. The other thing, I guess, is it may just be sort of a lack of other things to peck at. And so I'll often suggest putting in, say, a bale of hay or some, you know, root vegetables, something like that to let them peck at. I think it helps with giving them something to peck at. It also probably helps with that energy and decreases that, gives them a little fiber in their diet. And so those would be things I would look at.
Okay. Yeah.
Some people will look at, you know, if you turned up the heat, for example, that can cause some pecking. But I generally think the diet is the first place to look.
Okay. All right. That's interesting.
And the old adage of a busy chicken being a happier chicken and less likely to peck, like a busy puppy is a better behaved puppy.
Well, that's probably true. Yeah. Yeah. Something else to focus on.
And here's another question I got on hatching your own chickens, okay? Pretty much everybody's telling me that when you hatch your own chickens, you're going to get 50-50. Half are going to be hens and half are going to be roosters. Sure. Is that so?
That's, like that's generally the case, yes. You might see some minor differences, but by and large, it's typically pretty close to 50-50.
Okay, that was another question I had. Now, here's another one that I'm interested in. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's fairly new to me. Raising your own feed with fodder, you know, okay. Sunflower seeds and barley.
Yep.
And just going exclusively with that. Now, this has really got my interest, and I really wanted to ask you about this.
Sure.
In detail, what you thought about this. And now I've played around with this, and it grows like within a week, and you know,
yeah.
So I'm just wondering the proteins,
like sprouting,
yeah,
grains,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. My feeling on that is that it's really probably not much different sprouting it than feeding the grain itself.
Really?
A lot of people don't agree with me on that, but I think nutritionally it's probably going to be very similar. You may see a few differences in vitamins, but you know, I see a lot of times people will say that it increases the protein.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a sort of an increase by subtraction, if you will, because you're getting rid of some of the other stuff through the sprouting. And so I don't think you're really technically increasing the protein. You might be increasing the percentage of protein.
But that it was presented to me is like 1 pound of seed does 6 or 6.5 pounds of feed.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's mostly water, of course, that you're adding, but... I don't know. It certainly won't hurt anything, you know,
right.
Unless it gets moldy, like you said.
Right.
I'm kind of skeptical that it gains a whole lot, but, you know, it certainly won't hurt. birds may eat a little more if they like it softer and sprouted. So.
Right. You know, folks, we are running out of time for this segment. We'll be. Yes, we are, Joe. And he hates it when I say that, Ron. He really does. Folks, we'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Attention all pet lovers. Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers remote trainers have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Has your life gone to the dogs? Are you at your wit's end? We can help. At America's Canine Academy, our specialists can put an end to the mutt mayhem and magically stop the destructive behaviors that your crazed canine has developed. We offer step-by-step guidance and make-sense techniques that will turn your problem dog into a calm, stable, and well-behaved companion. And we can even do it all by phone. Even from afar, we can assess a dog-gone-wrong situation and help you recapture your sanity. Call 877-WE-WHISPER, americascanineacademy.net, where dog whisperers are trained.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Now we have with us Ron Keene, who is Backyard Poultry's answer guy. And Joe, I know you have more questions for him.
Yes, I do. Somebody else was asking me what you thought about just using diatomaceous earth for warming their hens so they don't have to stop eating the eggs and that sort of thing, you know, like on a daily basis, putting it in the food. Sure. What do you think of that?
You're getting me on all of these. I guess I'm a little bit skeptical of diatomaceous earth. I think my feeling is I think it's probably better for external pests. Lice and mites and things. From what I have read on it, I think the main killing action is by desiccation or absorbing moisture out of these organisms.
Right.
And I think internally there's so much moisture in the tract that I guess I'm skeptical as to how much it's going to do. Again, just like I said with the sprouting, I think it won't hurt anything. And so... And there have been a few studies. I think there was one in Canada that showed that it might at least decrease the number of worms in some birds. I think they had different strains, and one strain it seemed to help, and in one strain it didn't. So, you know, I think it certainly won't hurt anything. Maybe some good minerals there for the bird, too, so... So if you want to do it, great. I think if you get to the point where you know you have a worm problem, you may have to use something a bit stronger.
Okay. All right, and here's another one. How can I tell which one of my hens are laying and which ones aren't?
Yeah. there are some ways you can do that. If they are yellow-skinned, then you look for the paler birds, and those are generally your best layers. So... Mm-hmm. If you look at their beak, you look at their legs, and if they have really bright yellow legs, they're probably not laying. And the older, the longer they, it's a pretty good one. The other way you can do it is by handling, and you can feel around the vent area. There's two bones that stick out there, the pubic bones.
Yeah.
And if the hen is laying, those will be soft and will be spread apart more. If she's not laying, they'll be real sharp and tight together. And so those are probably the best two ways. You can also get some clue from the comb and things like that. But.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. Okay. And here's another one. It's a funny one because this happens to me too. When it rains here, you know, you get the mud puddles in the coops. And yeah, the chickens are always over there drinking the dirty water rather than drinking the clean water. And I just was wondering, and they were wondering, is this going to hurt anything with them drinking? And you can't stop them. I mean, you know.
Right.
I've tried to put in extra dirt in there, but you always get a puddle, you know, because they're always digging, you know, for their, you know, for dusting, you know, their dust baths. And when it rains, it fills with dirty water. And, boy, that seems to be like a treat, you know.
I know. And I don't know how you stop it, like you said, and I really can't understand. You would think they would like cleaner water, but they sure don't.
People would rather drink beer
anything
than water, so.
Yeah. There's a potential to see more problem of coccidiosis that tends to spread in mud and wet dirt and things. Probably with adult hens, that's not going to be an issue. With young chicks, I'd be a little more concerned about that, you know, that might be a problem. But in general, I wouldn't say it's good. I think it's probably not going to be a big issue.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And one of the things I was wondering about is when you have chickens, especially people with backyard flocks, and we're dealing with odd temperature shifts. Now, today, as we record this, it has been 50-something degrees here right outside of Boston where I am. And tonight, it's going to go well below freezing. We're going to drop more than 40 degrees in a day. Now, is this something that, and you know, around here, we tend to have our birds rather sheltered in this weather. But is this something that will affect birds?
Yeah, you know, I think just like for us, it's going to be a bit of a shock. They probably will handle it okay. You know, if you have a bird that's already suffering from something, this could be sort of the straw that breaks the camel's back. You know, you'll find if your flock had chronic respiratory disease, for example, then you'd probably see a lot of problems. I think if they're generally healthy to begin with and, you know, you give them plenty of food and water, they'll probably stand it pretty well.
They'll just be like the people, just a little crankier.
Probably so, yeah.
Yeah, because down here it's supposed to drop 53 degrees today. Just one hit.
Yeah, we are up to a high of minus 11 here, so we're feeling it too. But.
Yeah, and I understand you're sending all that cold my way, so.
I hope it moves somewhere.
God. Now, Joe, did you have another question from readers?
No, readers, I don't.
Listeners.
No, that's all that I had. And the only other questions that I had was going back to this, because I'm really interested in this fodder stuff. And I know you're not great on it, but I've already bought a ton of grain here. So now, I'm already wondering how much fodder should a chicken eat every day if I'm going to just try to do this?
Yeah. You know, I think I would try to base it on the amount of dry grain. And so, you know, typically if a laying hen will probably eat about 4 ounces of feed a day. So right, if you would take 4 ounces of dry grain and then whatever that sprouts into, I think that would be a reasonable place to start, probably.
Oh, okay.
And you were saying it would multiply like 6 times the weight? Is that what you...
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Yeah. Out of 1 pound. Well, you know, it's just the cost-wise, too. I mean, you know, with grain, I'm running about 22, 23 cents a pound. And with fodder, you're down into pennies a pound.
But you're also in Florida where water is not as much of an issue as it is in some parts of the country, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, so you're saying they eat a lot less?
That's what they're saying. They're saying, I've taken I've segregated a flock of chickens to try this. And I mean, hands down, you know, the grain or the fodder, they go for that first because it looks like green grass, thick green grass.
Sure.
And it grows up about 8 or 10 inches tall in a week's time.
Okay.
And they jump on that like they haven't eaten in a month, you know, and it's gone in a matter of minutes. And I'm thinking, wow. So far, and I've done this with egg chickens. I haven't done it with meat chickens. They seem to just be okay. So I'm thinking, wow, this is interesting. Really interesting.
Yeah. Well, and maybe I'm wrong. You know, I've not actually done it myself, so I don't know. But it'll be interesting to see if you can get by on a smaller amount of it. You know, I think I'd be concerned that the protein levels at some point may slip. Probably with sunflower seed, you'd be better. That tends to have a higher protein to start.
It does. But, they say you can get 28% by mixing the barley,
you know,
with it.
I'm going to do it again. We are out of time for this segment, folks. We will be right back with more Country Joe's Chicken here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back, everybody, to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And we have with us Ron Keen, the answer guy for backyard poultry. Now, we were talking about fodder, and you said, you know, that it all depends. So what's a good way to set up for Joe to sort of, besides just casual observation, what is a good way, scientifically speaking, to sort of set up a study? He said he does have a control group of chickens.
Sure. Well, I guess if we were really going to do it, you know, a scientific study, we'd probably want multiple replications and things like that. But I think, assuming you have birds that are fairly similar, you can probably get a pretty good idea by splitting them in two or in two groups, as you mentioned, and monitoring. I think, first of all, of course, you'd want to watch the health of the birds. If they started losing feathers or pecking at each other or things like that, certainly the production levels, if egg production changes, or if they're meat birds, you could weigh them and look at growth. So I think, you know, again, if it was something you wanted to publish, you'd need multiple pens and things like that, but you'd probably get a good idea.
Yeah.
Just by.
Well, that's what I'm doing right now. That's what I am doing. And that was going to be my next question on young meat chickens, you know, the day old. How soon can I start these on fodder, you know, rather than grain?
I guess my feeling, well, a couple things. I think you'd want to at least give them a couple of weeks to get started, you know, at least. I would say at least probably 3 weeks
to develop.
Get them started would be my feeling.
Yeah.
I think if it's Cornish rock cross, I'd be pretty leery of it, and I'd be ready to provide something else for them. I think you can run into a lot of deficiencies there because they grow so quickly.
Right.
If it's something a little slower growing, then yeah, probably, you know, at that 3 weeks or so, and then start on it.
Okay.
You probably want to provide some grit as well.
Yeah.
When you're doing that, so.
Okay, yeah, I do that, all my chickens anyway,
sure.
I supplement on that. But, yeah, I wanted to experiment with like turkeys, meat turkeys, you know, and end that with fodder. You know, of course, I don't get my meat turkeys till, you know, June or July, but
sure.
I wanted to try that, and I didn't know when I should start them or try it, the kind of experimental
again,
thing.
I think it'd be good to give them a good start. Again, mm-hmm. I'm a little nervous about the leg problems with those, but never know. You might work well.
I'm going to try it. I'll let you know how
sure.
this works out. It's
yeah.
fun experimenting with this stuff. I just enjoy this.
Sure.
And anything new, you know, boy, I'm ready to try it.
Yeah. And I can tell you, or new chickens or
yeah.
new breeds.
Yeah, and I can tell, Ron, you're riding the fence here. You're a little skeptical about fodder, and I'm looking at it as a cost kind of thing, you know, where everybody's saying, oh, it's way cheaper. That's where you got to go. So
yeah.
that's why I'm going to take a control group. I'm taking 50 hens, and they're in their own coop, and versus the next coop, which is just grain, and these are layers, and I'm
okay,
going to watch.
Sure.
And see if there's any difference. So, and those are the things I watch for. But I do make sure everybody's got their oyster shell as a supplement and whatnot.
Sure.
So it's going to be fun. And I just didn't know if you had any other suggestions or anything I should do or watch for.
Yeah, I think those would be the things I'd watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can measure consumption, that's great too. And it sounds like you probably do.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, the weight. So, I think that would be good.
Mm-hmm.
And 50 hens is a nice group. That's a pretty large group, so I think you'll get a good measurement.
Yeah.
Just take notes so
yeah.
you know, and it's not
exactly.
just a feeling you have in the back of your head so that you can repeat the experiment if you need to or so other people can. And, you know,
yeah.
we can have a good idea in the whole community how this is going. Now, is that something, because he's in Florida, he gets a lot more daylight than we do up here in Wisconsin and in Massachusetts. Is that something that you'd need a special grow light to do if you're up in our neck of the woods this time of year?
I have not really worked with that sprouting. I don't think, well, if the sprouting, I don't think needs the light. If you're talking about growing it to 8 or 10 inches tall, then you may need some pretty good light.
I have a whole separate building I built for this, and
okay.
It's computerized water. It consumes a lot of water, and it starts on trays that are 5 feet tall with holes in the bottom, and it just waters one right down after the other.
And that's pretty much how we're doing this. And it seems to be working pretty good.
Well, that's pretty interesting. You know, Ron, you get a lot of questions, I'm sure, to backyard poultry. What is the most often asked question you get from people who are new to chickens?
Sure. I'll tell you, currently, it's been, of course, how cold can they handle? and that's a really difficult one to answer because there's so many variations, the different birds, the different ventilation systems, you know, and things like that. So that's a big one. I think a lot of people asking about, you know, how much space do they need and, how long they'll live. Those are common. A lot of health and disease questions, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things that we also talk about in the cold is, of course, I, as a human being, can take colder temperatures than my husband, who is a fellow human being. And I know that that's true of different breeds of chickens. We had a guest on earlier who was raising Bantam, the Old English breed of chickens, which are smaller chickens. Are they more or less likely to, Bantam, more or less likely to be cold sensitive than a larger breed?
Yeah, I guess I would say probably slightly more sensitive, just because there's not as much body weight there and there's more surface area. I think within the both Bantams and large fowl, there can be a lot of breed differences. I have a friend here that grows modern games, and they really struggle because they have really tight feathering, and so they don't get the insulation of the loose feathers. Mm-hmm. And so he has a lot of problem with them and has to keep them indoors quite often in the winter. So birds with tight feathering, I think, are a concern. Certainly the comb type is a big one. Single combs that stick up high tend to freeze more quickly than something with a small comb. So I think probably Bantams are slightly more affected, but really within them is more of an issue.
Hmm.
And, you know, it's funny because we the radio show goes all around the country and we all have our different issues. But, of course, there's differences in what's popular in areas. And it could be that the more popular breeds in your area are the birds that do better in the particular area. I know some birds don't do well in Florida where Joe is because of the high humidity.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
yeah.
You know, I think people have to kind of adjust to that or, you know, find a way to have what they want. That's the other option.
Well, and if you're going to have a silky chicken and it's going to be in the house with you and be a lap chicken, that's a far different cry than if you're going to have birds outside all the time. You know, exactly. I want to thank you so much for being with us, Ron. And
boy, I guess so. I always learn a lot when you're here. Yeah, I just look forward to hearing from you.
Time
and
flies,
we are running out of time, not only for this segment, Joe, but for the week.
Right.
So I want to thank all of our listeners for being with us. And it's Country Joe's Chicken Show. And as he mentioned, we're now also on iTunes. You can search for us there. And Joe, we always close out the show the same way. Will you say it with me?
Oh, yes. You ready for this, Ron? You ready? Here we go. May the flock be with you.
Oh!